You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hopefully everybody's having a very pleasant Luke evening. On for the next 2 hours here for After Hours, taking you up till midnight. And then I got you for another Big Lugowski, a five-hour After Hours tomorrow from 7 p.m. to midnight. And then a very special Lugie in the Light of Day this Saturday from Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center from 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. Very much looking forward to that and meeting some of you. If you don't have plans on Saturday, head out to the Javits Center and Fanatics Fest. It's an awesome event for sports fans or really fans of just entertainment. I mean, it's just such a great place to be. There's so many celebrities and athletes walking around. You never know who you're going to bump into. And it's an opportunity to come by on Saturday between 1 and 5 p.m. and watch me talk. And then after I'm done talking, I'll go to break and then you and I can talk. So there'll be a lot of talking. There'll be a lot of picture taking, I'm sure. And yeah, when I get in autograph mode, because Fanatics Fest is a lot about people walking around getting autographs, I become Ricky Bobby. You know, when I get in autograph mode, I'll sign your baby. I mean, I'll sign whatever you want. I signed somebody's Met jersey a couple of years ago and I caught a lot of flack for it. It's like, well, he asked me to sign it. So whatever you ask me to sign, I'll sign. I have no problem with that. What do I care? I know there was somebody bringing me a card of myself, like a playing card, which is super cool. Yeah, I'll sign that. That'll be worth millions someday. Just give me a cut of it. That's all I ask for. Give me a little like 10% of that. But I've seen the setup there at the Fanatics Fest for us. Looks super cool. If you've gone out before, it's totally different than the years past as far as our setup for WFAN. And I'm very much looking forward to that. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll continue to do sports this hour, but we're also going to do an Ask Tommy Anything segment here, probably till 11 o'clock. And if you are new to After Hours, this is something we did in the first couple of months of the show when we had a little bit more real estate to deal with before the Yankee games every single night and the Knicks playoff run. And this is your opportunity. We did it once a week back then. And if it goes well tonight, maybe we'll do it again next week. You can ask me whatever you want. Yeah, it could be sports, but I would say shy away from that because you could ask me about sports whenever the heck you want. So it could be music, it could be movies, it could be broadcasting, it could be something about this radio station, whatever the case may be. You know, there's a few topics we won't touch, but I imagine you can figure that out and have fun with it. You know, these can be funny and it's kind of off menu when it comes to a sports talk radio show, which, look, I know we're sports, but sometimes we could veer off a little bit, especially during the All-Star break. I think that's perfectly acceptable. Let's start off with Kevin in Long Island. He has an Ask Tommy Anything question. What's up, Kev?
Good evening, Tommy. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. I was going to ask you a WWE question because Saturday I'm going to MSG for main event.
Nice.
I have a broadcasting question for you. I called it a couple months ago and asked for some advice, and I did take your advice. But now another question I have for you broadcasting-wise is, who are some of your biggest inspirations in the field of broadcasting?
Great question. Appreciate that. Growing up in the 90s, every night, go to bed, turn on WFAN, and I would listen to Beningo when he was doing the overnights. Love Joe. Still do. And, of course, after Jet games were amazing, but I would listen to Joe literally every single night or every night that he was on. So that was a huge influence. Howard Stern, I mean, I was a huge, still am, huge Howard Stern fan. I'm more of a Jackie fan as far as the Jackie years. That's just me. And I also like the K-Rock years better because I like when they were dancing around stuff a little bit more. Although if you listen back now, a lot of that stuff wouldn't fly. But I liked when they danced around things more. And when they moved to Sirius, it was like, well, they could just curse every 5 seconds. Still funny. And I love the Artie years and the post-Artie years. But for me, the Jackie years on K-Rock, for me, when they were also simulcasted at night on E, where they would pick the best segments, to me, those were the best years of Howard. That's just personal preference. But huge Howard Stern, like I said, Beningo, those are two major influences for me in the broadcasting field. Now, you know who I get a kick out of? I love his podcast, Theo Von. He just cracks me up. So I wouldn't say necessarily an influence now that I'm in the business, but I'm a huge fan of Theo Von. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We're doing sports here, but we're also doing Ask Tommy Anything. Let's go to Sean in Old Bridge, New Jersey. What's up, Sean?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Great. How you doing?
I'm good. So I've been thinking of this one. So this is a wrestling question.
Okay.
And if you remember off the top of your head, and you might think for a moment, what was the first ever wrestling event you have attended, and what did you think of that experience?
Okay, I do remember the first one. I remember the first two that I'll give you two because they were different companies. First one I ever went to was it used to be called a house show. Now, WWE has all these catchphrases for everything they do, including calling the audience the universe. But back then, they called it a house show. I think they now call it a premium live event or a PLE. But it was a house show, was a show that was not televised. And it was at the Nassau Coliseum, the Collie. And it was in the late 90s, maybe like 96, 97. So this was Owen Hart and the British Bulldog. This was Mankind or Mick Foley. This was The Undertaker. This was Goldust. This is Triple H before he was The Game. So this was Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Triple H. This was post Nash and Hall leaving the company. So it was right around, yeah, it was right around 96. Great show. Super, a Vader. It was my first ever wrestling event. And the one thing that, to me, like, stuck out was there are no announcers. So you hear the wrestlers hitting the canvas. Dude, it is loud. If you've never been to a wrestling event, like the first time you go to one, because when you watch on TV, the crowd noise, the announcers, they kind of drown out when they hit the canvas. It is loud, and it's just, I'm hurting. My back hurts watching somebody get body slammed. Doug Furness and Philip LaFon, they were there on the card too. That's a deep cut. So that was my first WWF at the time, then WWE show. My first ever WCW show, I went to Monday Nitro. This would have been in 1998, the summer of 98. This is when the Wolfpack had started. And the main event was Macho. Ooh, yeah, Diamond Dallas Page. I don't know your name, but your girlfriend, she knows who I am. Love that feud with DDP. Now, this was 98, so this wasn't their, you know, their great feud was in 97. But the 98, it still kind of spilled over, and it was DDP and Savage in the cage. That was the main event. I'm trying to think some of the other. I remember Scott Steiner being there. I don't remember every part of that. And I was a huge Nitro fan, huge WCW fan. For my money, and take it for whatever it's worth, I mean, basically a wrestling historian, or like, at least like to think I am. But I thought from when Scott Hall showed up till about mid-98, WCW Nitro is the best televised wrestling show ever. In terms of the roster, in terms of the storylines, everything you want to throw at me, I thought it was the best. Amazingly enough, they were out of business 3 years later, which we could spend 4 hours on. But yeah, for me, that was awesome. So it was a great opportunity. And that was also at the Coliseum. So those were my early wrestling shows when I was a teenager. I don't think I went to a show any younger than that. Maybe I'm forgetting, but I would think I wouldn't have forgotten it. So those were the first two of my life. 888-808-1019. Is the phone number to call. We'll mix in a few more Ask Tommy Anythings here. Let's go to Chris in Monmouth County. What's up, Chris?
Tommy, long time.
Hey.
I haven't been able to call you since the Knicks won.
This is the first time we've talked?
Yes, Tommy. It's nothing. I just haven't had a chance. You haven't been on. I just haven't had a chance, man.
Yeah.
But listen.
Wow.
And I got to ask Tommy for you. I got a couple Ask Tommy for you.
Okay.
But here's the deal. Before the Knicks won, during the playoffs, I called you a couple times, and I kept on saying, Tommy, it's happening.
Yes, you did.
And today, Tommy, 4 weeks later, I'm going to say, Tommy, it happened. And I hope Kendrick has called you. I got a feeling he hasn't.
He has.
Did he humble himself?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He was very gracious.
Okay.
He was Kendrick was great. Yeah, he called me, I think, maybe a couple days after they won.
All due respect to Kendrick, but this is... And I got some Ask Tommies for you.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, no more with the Knicks slander. It's over. The Knicks proved everything that you defended for years, and I would call, and the Knicks fans would call about, Beninga would talk about, Evan still is the Knick hater. Even him rooting for the Knicks this year, there was that little bit of, you could tell, that sarcasm and this and that. Good luck with Julius Randle. I love Julius. He did good for us. But
yeah,
luck,
I do,
Evan.
Too. Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, Tommy, yeah. I was at SummerSlam 1990 at the Philadelphia Spectrum Ultimate Warrior versus Ravishing Rick Rude.
Great match.
The main event.
One of Warrior's best matches.
By the way, the Spectrum was a dump, okay? I mean a dump of a stadium. But I was 45 minutes away. I was with my father, my good friend, so years ago. I got to ask Tommy for you. I got two things for you.
Okay.
First, all due respect, because we love him, he's your boy. How did Marash interview Will Ferrell in person? That's my first.
I mean, I know the inside baseball on that. I'm not sure if I'm privy enough to say that.
No, I don't want the inside. I think it's cool, but it's like, how did Marash jump from? Here's why I say that. The reality is, every time Evan takes the call, he never says Evan and Tiki with Sean Marash. He goes, it's the Evan and Tiki show, and they've talked about that on the show. So Evan Tiki, Marash goes from the no man to doing the Cinco de Mayo, to interviewing one of the biggest stars in the world, Will Ferrell, and Luke Wilson. So kudos to him. I think, Tommy, you're right there with Seinfeld. And second, did you know that Victor Cruz opened a fast food restaurant in Jersey just now called Crystal? And my question is, have you been to a Crystal? And end this call, Tommy, the Knicks are going to repeat.
Amen.
This is not touching the money. Knicks are going to, I don't care where LeBron goes, the Knicks will repeat. And Tommy, it happened. Have a good night.
Yes, it did. It was real and it was spectacular. Yeah, the Marash thing with Will Ferrell, I mean, I know the inside baseball. I don't know if Sean has talked about it, so I don't want to speak for him. But I kind of know the ins and outs because we are, believe it or not, friends. So I know how that all went down. But yeah, kudos to him. Very cool. I'm a huge Will Ferrell fan, as you know. I mean, I quote his movies basically on a nightly basis. And I'm looking forward to the show that's coming out as well, which premieres tomorrow, the golfing show. I don't want to get the name. I forgot the name slightly, so I don't want to get it wrong. But it starts tomorrow on Netflix. The other part of that is, no, I have not been to that fast food chain, and I was unaware that Victor Cruz opened one. And yes, the Knicks are champions. You can't say it enough, really. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Like I said, this hour, we're going to do a lot of Ask Tommy Anythings. This is your opportunity to ask me whatever you want. Be creative. If you've ever wanted to ask me something and felt like, the guy's talking about the Mets, he's talking about the Yankees, he's talking about the Knicks, it doesn't really fit on a sports talk radio show, this is your opportunity to do so. Let's go to Maya in Staten Island here on The Fan. What's up, Maya?
Hi, Tommy. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm a huge fan of the show.
Thank you.
Listen every day.
Appreciate it.
I was wondering, what is the gayest thing you've ever done?
888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Jeff in Fairview on The Fan. What's up, Jeff?
Actually, a sports thing. I can't think of anything else right now, but maybe in the future I will.
No, it's all cool. You could ask me sports stuff. That's fine.
Okay. All right. I know you. I'm a big Rex Ryan fan, and I know you wanted him for your defensive coordinator. I am a Jets fan. What do you think about the fact that he was out, and I know his son works for the Jets.
Yeah.
He was at the OTAs or the minicamp. How did Aaron Glenn feel about that? That's odd.
Maybe
he's starting to work.
It's weird, the whole thing. The Jets situation, right? The whole thing with Aaron Glenn. Look, he's got a big-time prove-it year. I think he's got to be looking over both shoulders at this point. I think the Jet job is more coveted than I could see. You know, Rex wants it. I wouldn't even be stunned if a John Gruden gets, is part of this future. But Aaron Glenn's got to, he's got to put himself in a situation here where he could prove to be a head coach. And I think if that's the case, I think the Jets will... We'll stick with him. Look, he's a former Jet. I wouldn't call him a Jet great, but he was a good Jet. And there's obviously a lot of, lost a little bit last year. But I think there is a little bit of fan appreciation for him because he was a former Jet. And if he could start to win, I think people will love him because of that and the fact that he's winning.
Yes, and he does. Now he's got to call the plays now. I know Willie Johnson wants him to do that. He does have a good offensive coordinator. And I think he is a leader of men. I think he's going to do better. He had a bad first year, but I think he's going to do better. And obviously we're going to see real soon what's going on. I'm rooting for him.
Yep.
So that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Jeff. And like I said, with the Ask Tommy Anything, you could ask me sports if you want, but the only thing I'd say is that you could always call me up. And so if you feel, here's what I would say. If you feel like you can't call me during the show and you're feeling a little nervous, don't ever feel that way. You could always call up the radio station and ask me whatever you want as far as sports goes. Because I feel like some people are like, ooh, this is my opportunity to call and ask them about sports. You always have that opportunity. But in the Ask Tommy Anything segment, you could ask me literally whatever you want outside of a few topics, which I think are all probably pretty self-explanatory. We've talked a lot about Arch Manning and the Jets tonight. Let's head out to Jason in Dutchess County. He joins us in After Hours. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Long time. Haven't called you in a while. You know?
Good to hear from you.
Yeah. What I wanted to hear, I heard you open a monologue about Arch Manning. And, you know, I don't know. There's no guarantee he's going to be the first pick. There's no guarantee. What about Trinidad Chambliss? He looks pretty good.
I was very impressed with him, and I thought that in that college football playoff with Ole Miss, he made plays with both his arms and his legs that I think translate to the NFL. And I thought if he had come out this year, if I were the Jets, I would have went after him and drafted him. I like him a lot. And that's what I kind of said earlier too, Jay, that I want to see the way this season plays out when it comes to a Chambliss and a Manning and a Dante Moore, et cetera, because there's a lot of prospects, I think, quarterback-wise. Like, this year was kind of a soft year for quarterbacks, meaning it wasn't very deep in terms of quarterback prospects, where next year it is going to be. So let's see how this college football season plays out, and then I think you will have more of a kind of a depth chart of an order in which we believe the quarterbacks will be drafted in. But I'm a big Chambliss fan.
The next thing is David Bailey. I would love to see this guy, you know, be like, you know, our next great pass rusher.
Well, look, no. I mean, yeah, of course. Absolutely, Jay. And I think that I appreciate the call. Good to hear from you. It was the safer of the picks. Bailey was the safer pick over Reese. And I understand going safe. I do. And it's going to be fascinating because Bailey and Reese are going to be compared to each other for their entire careers because obviously the Jets took Bailey, they passed on Reese, and then the Giants took Reese. So their careers are going to be parallel. Their careers are going to be compared to. And if Reese ends up being a superstar, Hall of Famer, unbelievable player, even if Bailey is good, it's always going to be viewed as how could the Jets pass on Reese? And if Bailey ends up being really good, and Reese is just either solid or he's not good at all, then the Jets are going to, and Muji are going to look like geniuses, and Aaron Glenn. Because
every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
They went in the right direction. But those two careers will forever be linked because of the decision the Jets made to go Bailey over Arvell Reese. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. This hour, we'll take your sports calls, but we'll also take your Ask Tommy Anything calls. Let's head out to North Carolina. Dominic's on the fan. What's up, Dom? Hello? Dominic is either on hold or... Listen, I always feel like when I'm hosting a show, I'm bothering the people when I go to them. Like, you could be in a bathroom, you could be at the drive-thru, you could be with your lady friend, and I feel like I'm interrupting you. Like, it's invasive. Really, it is. I'm doing the show. I'm here. You know what I'm doing. I'm sitting here. I'm contractually obligated to be here. When you call up and you're on hold, sometimes you're on hold for 5 minutes, sometimes 5 seconds, sometimes 50 minutes, I always feel invasive. I always feel like I'm bothering you. Like, I'll be like, here's Dave in Connecticut on the fan, and Dave in Connecticut could be doing whatever. And he doesn't really want to talk to me, even though he called to talk to me. He might be in the middle of something. Things happen. So I always feel like I'm bothering people when I go to him. So if you're not ready, don't worry about it. It's okay. There's no great penalty for it. It just means life happened. That's all. Robbie in Brooklyn here hasn't asked Tommy anything. What's up, Robbie?
Tommy, how are you?
Great. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. I was thinking for a while now, instead of building casinos, what do you think about Steve Cohen building a stadium for the Jets to come back to Queens? It only makes sense.
It does make a lot of sense. And here's the thing, Robbie, and I say this like half tongue-in-cheek. It's almost like I think both the Giants and Jets would want to I do think they would want a divorce, but I don't think either one of them would want the stadium that they're in. I feel like they'd both be like, hey, could we just go somewhere else? Although I will say this, MetLife Stadium, I think, translates better for soccer. Like, when I'm watching these soccer matches there, I'm like, man, MetLife Stadium actually looks pretty damn good. And I don't know, because I haven't heard from the soccer fan that has gone to MetLife Stadium. I don't know if they've had a better experience than they've had at football. So if you have gone to a match and you have gone to a football game there and you want to hit me up, you can. I'd love to hear from you, because I don't know what the experience has been like for the soccer fans there. Except for what Ozzie and Woodridge and his source have speculated about what the Norwegian fans have done in the bathroom, which is really should have been their private business, if we're being honest here. But you know what? Ozzie's friend's a canary. He's a snitch. And he snitched to Ozzie, then Ozzie snitched to me, which snitched to all of you, which got one of our callers to group text some Norwegians. The Norwegians aren't happy with me, and now half of Norway wants a piece of positive Tommy, and not in a good way, and not in the bathroom way either. Because in that way, I'd be like, all right, fine. But in the way that I think they're mad at me, it's probably not going to be good for positive Tommy. But I, you know me, I'll break bad. I make amends with everybody. Yeah, the thing about me is that I'm an acquired taste. You love to hate me, you hate me, you love me. But at the end of the day, you know, it's Tommy, I used to hate you, now I love you. You'll always eventually get to the conclusion that you love me. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We are in the middle of an Ask Tommy Anything segment here. Let's head out to Gary in Queens. He joins us. What's up, Gary?
Hey, Positive Tommy. I love that name, and I'm using it. I'm Positive Gary now because of you.
Love it.
It's the one last question. If you could sit in the conference room with four people, dead or alive, you know, of your choice, who would they be?
That, yeah, I appreciate the question, Gary. That's always a difficult one here, and I've gotten similar questions on Ask Tommy Anything. Who would you go out to dinner with? Maybe you play a round of golf with three people. And for some reason, just being honest, I struggle with it. I sometimes just can't answer that question. Now, I can give you the old, yeah, it would be Sydney Sweeney, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, and Pam Anderson. Which, look, I mean, you can't go wrong with that answer. That was kind of like a stock answer I could have for you. In fact, the more I hear that answer, the more I like it. If you want to throw Scarlett Johansson in there, you can as well. But here's the problem. When I start listing actresses that I find attractive, I'll be here for 6 hours. Upper management will love that. I'll do a double shift. I'll just work 10 hours at one shift rate. But so I don't want to go down that route, but I always struggle. I always struggle with that one. I will say this. I won't answer that question directly because, well, I gave you one answer, but I just don't have the best answer for it. I'll give you two places or events that I wish I could have attended. First one, Woodstock. I think that would have been cool. It's not quite my scene when it comes to like electronic dance music, but just to be a part of that type of iconic event and that type of movement, not to say that I'm a hippie or anything like that, but I think it would have been cool to say that you were at something like that. Like, how many of us can say we were at this like historical event like Woodstock? So that's number one. And number two would be the Playboy Mansion, which I think speaks for itself. If I have to explain to you why I would want to be at the Playboy Mansion, then really, I don't know what I mean. You don't have to reveal all your tricks. So those would be, I'm not answering your question, but I'm giving you a different answer to a question I had. Or we could just go with Sydney Sweeney, Pam Anderson, and Tiffany Amber Thiessen, and Scarlett Johansson. How many names do I get? Was it 3, 4, 5, 10? Pick them up! 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. We're in the middle of an Ask Tommy Anything segment. We'll do this for the rest of the hour, but we'll also mix in some sports as well. Let's head out to New Britain, and John joins us. What's up, John?
How are you doing today, Tommy?
Hey, what's up?
Question for you. This is a corporate question that I had in a meeting that's kind of a management staff meeting. It kind of got deep here. Here's the question. Ready?
Yeah.
If you can go back to... and now you're 20 years old, what piece of advice would you give that person?
So it sounded like you said, John, because you had Back to the Future there. If I were with Doc Brown, I can go in a DeLorean and I could tell myself at 20 some advice, the ghosts of Christmas future or the ghosts of girlfriend's past, which is an underrated McConaughey movie. I actually do like that movie. What would 40, soon to be 41-year-old Tommy tell 20-year-old Tommy? Well, I would just say, hey, listen, stick with it. You're going to make it in your career, because when you're 20 years old, and I feel for anybody right now that's 20, 21, which is, it's just totally different too. When I was 20, 21, it was just a totally different world. Even though it was only 20 years ago, things have changed dramatically. And even in this business. And I tell people all the time, like young aspiring radio host personalities, content creators, which wasn't a thing. Now I'm a content creator. Okay. You film yourself. That's what that means. I mean, I'm a content creator. You film yourself. That's what you're doing. But that's fine. It's just another way to say that you're working in the business and you're trying to make it. But that is a sign of how things have changed with podcasts and social media. And that wasn't even really around 20 years ago. Now everybody's on Facebook. But what I would say is, you know, stick with it. You're ultimately going to make it, because it was a long, long, long journey. And there's advice I got from somebody who hosts here, and I got it years and years ago. I wish I could repeat what he said. I can't. I just can't, because it's, I just can't. I wish I could. He was right, and it was very funny, but I can't repeat it. But what I would tell that 20-year-old is, because when you're 20 and you're in college, and all I ever wanted to do was work at this radio station. But think about that. That's crazy. Like, I had, like, you go for career day and people are like, well, I want to be center fielder for the Mets. It's like, okay, can you maybe lower your expectations a little bit? It's like, all right, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a physicist. I want to be an actress. I want to be an actor. I want, whatever the case may be. I was in career day, I want to be a radio host and I want to work on WFAN. And I'm sure the school I went to would probably look at me and like, yeah, fat chance of that happening. So what else would you like to do? But they, bless their heart, they never said that. I had a very small runway to land on. But this is whatever, you know, for all the things that you could do in the world, this is what I wanted to do, and this is where I wanted to do it. And I hope you're listening out there, Internet, for those that think, this guy hates the radio station, he wants to ruin the radio station. No, I only grew up loving the radio station. It's the only place I ever wanted to work. And like you, I've been listening forever. So we're more similar than you think. But it was a tough runway to land on, but I did land on it. So that's what I would tell the 20-year-old. We'll break here in a second. We'll do your Ask Tommy Anything's coming up as well, so don't go anywhere. If you're on hold, I want to make sure I get to you. The one thing I'll say about Back to the Future, because it was written there, you know, Back to the Future, going back to the future. And if you haven't seen the movie, you haven't seen it, but spoiler alert. How does Marty's parents not recognize him at the end of the movie? He was an integral part of how they met. You know, he helped his parents hook up at prom. I know they only knew him for a week, but you're trying to tell me that all those years later, they don't have an aha moment or a deja vu? Moment where they see Marty and they go, yeah, this is the guy that helped us hook up at prom and now we're married. Great movie, by the way, but roads where we're going, we don't need roads. My understanding is they filmed that final scene not knowing about the sequel, because remember, again, spoiler alert, the movie's been out for a million years. Marty's girlfriend is in that final scene, but she's not a big part of the second movie. So early on in the second movie, they have to figure out a way to write her out of the second movie, because they filmed the final scene of that movie. Great final scene, by the way. Great movie. With the idea that she would not be, you know, it's a one-off. It's just one movie. So they had her in that final scene. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had her there. Plus, I think another actress was playing her in the second movie anyway. But back to the matter at hand. How did Marty's parents not recognize him? Now, look, if you told me, hey, do you remember somebody you only knew for a week back when you were in high school? No, of course not. But if that person helped me find my wife, yeah, I think I would remember them. Marty, I like that name. He's your son! You don't recognize him from all those years ago? Where was I? Yes. Okay, so we'll get back to your Ask Tommy Anything questions here. I see a lot of people lined up. 888-808-1019. Oh, if you're nervous, you don't want to call up, you can hit me up on Twitter about it as well. And much like Ron Burgundy, I'll read whatever's on the prompter. So at Tommy Lugauer, L-U-G-A-U-E-R, at Tommy Lugauer. If you want to ask Tommy anything on there, I'll read your tweet on the air as well. It is After Hours, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
we are in the middle of an Ask Tommy Anything segment. We brought it back here for the All-Star break. And one thing I learned from Evan Roberts, I certainly didn't learn how to dress from Evan Roberts, thankfully. But one thing I learned from Evan Roberts as a radio host, and I never told him this, but I do agree with it, even though sometimes it's hard to not fall into this trap, and that is to never go backwards in radio. Meaning, if we've talked about it 5 minutes ago, you just move on. And I think the idea there is that everybody's tuning in, you know, and they don't know what the heck you're talking about. So you almost have to reset, and it's difficult to do. But for this, I will reset because I feel this way. When somebody tweets at me something, yeah, that's one person, but probably 60 other people, if not more, maybe hundreds, were thinking the same thing. So if I address this, yeah, I'm only addressing one person, but I'm probably addressing a lot of you out there. So I'll set it up. I talked about Back to the Future before the break and the final scene, which was filmed with the idea that Back to the Future would be a one-off. And the idea that Marty's girlfriend is in that scene, and then in the second movie, because they didn't know they were going to do a sequel after the first movie, but because it was highly successful, they did the sequel. They had to sort of write her off a little bit in the early stages of the second movie because she wasn't really going to be a big part of it. And they would have never had her in the flying car in the first one at the end of the scene had they known there was going to be a sequel. So Gene checks in and he says, they legit say on the screen before the credits of the first Back to the Future, to be continued. So you're way off on that one. And then he does say, love the show and keep up the good work. Well, I appreciate that. I hate to break it to you, though. The original, you're thinking of it now, like when you see it on TV, Back to the Future now, it is to be continued because there is a sequel. But when it originally came out, Back to the Future, there was no to be continued on the screen. Now there is, but there wasn't in the original release of it in theaters. Gene and others. I'm sure, Gene, you're not alone there. But yes, when it was originally released, Back to the Future, before they knew there was going to be a sequel, there was no to be continued on the screen. That to be continued was added later now because, yes, it is to be continued because there is a sequel. And in all likelihood, TNT shows Back to the Future 2 right after they show you Back to the Future 1. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is Ask Tommy Anything. We'll also mix in a little bit of sports this hour and get back to your sports coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. I got you till midnight. Keith McPherson comes your way at that time. Danny in Huntington joins us. What's up, Danny?
What's going on, Tommy? Hey.
What's happening?
Oh, man. All right. So, since you are a wrestling fan.
Yep.
SummerSlam is right around the corner. Oba Femi versus Brock Lesnar. Yep. Who do you got and why?
I'm going to probably go with Oba Femi. I mean, this whole thing with him and Brock, it is hell in the cell. Oba is obviously going to be the bigger star. I think he's going to challenge for the title at WrestleMania. He won the King of the Ring, which should give him a championship opportunity, as they call it, or a shot at the title, at least is the way I used to remember it. And he forgoed that for this match with Brock because it's more of a grudge match. It is the third match in their series, the first one at WrestleMania, and then I forgot where the last one was, but then in this one being at SummerSlam, I'm going to go with Oba for this one because there really is no benefit for Brock to win this. I honestly thought this was, because it's in Minnesota, obviously Brock's hometown, I thought this was going to be a career situation where Brock was putting his career on the line and Oba would end Brock's career and Brock would go in with the championship. That's the way I thought they would go. Brock would win the title. They just decided to go in a million different other directions, including Sammy winning the title and then Punk winning it, and now you have Cody and Punk for the main event of, and by the way, two nights of SummerSlam, and I love, like I said, I love wrestling. We don't need two nights of SummerSlam. Two nights of WrestleMania, I'm cool with. I'd even be down for two nights of the Royal Rumble. You'd have the men's Royal Rumble and the women's Royal Rumble on separate nights. I could get down with that, but I don't think you need two nights of SummerSlam. That's just my two cents on that. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Mitch joins us in Astoria. He has an Ask Tommy Anything question. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, Tommy. Love your show.
Thank you.
So this is a question. I need you to think about it for a minute because I can't get a definitive answer, and I'm counting on you.
Okay.
In this country, are there more doors or are there more wheels?
Wow. I lean wheels because there's so many cars, because there's so many people. Now, maybe that's just my bias being in New York because there's just a million cars at all times, and I feel like I see more wheels than doors, but there are doors on cars.
And kitchen cabinets.
And yeah. Closets, well, and buildings and houses.
Houses.
The door is a little bit more, has a lot more, like, because it's also on a car, it's also on buildings, where the wheels are just, let's think this through. They're on cars, they're on airplanes, they're on bicycles, they're on motorcycles. I count, like, when I say cars, I mean vans and trucks and all that. That's just under the same umbrella. My initial lean was wheels, but now I feel like I'm swaying myself towards doors.
I think it's doors too, but sometimes I lean towards wheels when I think about it more so.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, Mitch, and it's a great question, and I don't mean this in a bad way. I have never thought about that in my entire life, and I'm a thinker. Some may call me an overthinker. They call me Tommy the overthinker. I love to think. It's one of my favorite activities in life is to think. Now, sometimes I don't think, and I wish I did, but it happens. But I spend a lot of my life thinking, and I have never once thought about if there are more doors or wheels on the planet. And a lot of times they're together. I guess the question, yes, I'm thinking out loud here. Is there ever a situation where wheels exist without a door? And yes, there is. Motorcycle. Is there ever a situation where a door exists without a wheels? Yes, of course, lots of them. I'm going to have to do a deeper dive into that. I'm going to go with doors, because doors are on cars, and I think that cancels out with the wheels. I'm gonna go with doors, but that's a fascinating question. Next, listen, don't tell me we don't provide you things here on After Hours. If you're going on a first date, I wouldn't hit her that first question. Obviously, she'll think you're probably a loser, but like at least like the sixth, when you run out of questions, hit her with that, and she'll think, boy, this guy's a deep thinker. Now, in reality, you're not. You just got it from me, and I got it from a caller, but that's where we're at. That's a fascinating one. You know what that reminds me of? And today is National Hot Dog Day. When we did a Settle the Debate segment, or as we like to call it here, an STD, somebody called me up and asked me, and I never heard this either, the old debate of whether or not a hot dog is a sandwich. And I thought, what? Number one, it's not. Number two, I never thought about it like that. A hot dog's a hot dog. And if I was a hot dog, I'd want to be a hot dog. I wouldn't want to be associated with a sandwich. I want to be my own entity. I'm a hot dog. Like if I'm at the pool around other hot dogs and I want to pick up a chick hot dog, I don't want that hot dog to be like, oh, you know, so who are you? I'm like, well, I'm a sandwich. You know, it's, well, there's a lot of sandwiches. So what do you bring to the table? Well, I'm a hot dog. It's like, ooh, you're a hot dog. That must be, yes, you can have my number. Because the sandwiches came around earlier and tried to get my number. And I was like, eh, but there's a lot of sandwiches. But to be a hot dog, that distinguishes you from the other sandwiches. And by the way, I go ketchup and mustard on the hot dog, which I know is very Pennsylvania, and I have my feelings towards Philadelphia, but I am a big... Now, of course, I will go... If I'm going one, it's mustard. I will go ketchup and mustard. If you are above the age of 10 and you put ketchup on your hot dog, you know, to me, it's mustard. It's spicy brown mustard, not yellow mustard. If it's yellow mustard, I'm out. I'm just out. I have to have spicy brown mustard, and I will go both ketchup and mustard, but if it's only one, I'm going to go mustard. It's got to be spicy brown, and I go relish, throw a little onions. I could do a chili dog with the cheese on it. I hate, and I'm using the word hate here, I hate sauerkraut, and yes, I'm part German, but I do hate it. I think it's disgusting. I wouldn't feed it to my worst enemy. I'm not a big sauerkraut fan. So I would, forget not big fan. I hate it. I think it's disgusting. So I would never, ever put it on a hot dog. And yes, it is National Hot Dog Day. And no, hot dog is not a sandwich. It is a hot dog. And I think the hot dog would prefer to be a hot dog and not be associated and clumped in with the sandwiches. Let's go to Jay in White Plains. What's up, Jay?
And I am fully agree with you on the hot dog thing. Above the age of 10 on ketchup on hot dogs is a no-go. But nonetheless...
Also, slicing your hot dog. Like, if you're above the age of 10 and you're slicing your hot dog and dipping it in ketchup, it's like, dude, what are you, 6 years old? So those are two things that are a no-no.
I 100% totally agree with you. That's why we see eye-to-eye on so many things. But nonetheless, my question is, are you and Marash truly friends in real life, or do you guys truly dislike each other?
We're dear friends.
You guys are truly good friends
yes.
with each other?
Yes, truly.
And that it's just showbiz on the radio?
No, we also hate each other. I mean, no, seriously. I mean, we are dear friends, But we both know how. I think it's one of those situations where, you know, it's Ali Frazier, it's Bird Magic, it's we're. I think at least I feel this way. I think we're competitive. I know we're on the same team, but I view him in some ways as like competition. You know, he's right around my age. You know, I want to always do better than him, and I want to see both of us succeed. But I and plus even off the air, we just know how to get under each other's skin because he's a ball breaker, I'm a ball breaker, so we kind of can be oil and vinegar. But yeah, at the end of the day, we are dear friends.
Oh, you are dear friend. And I mean, even though you guys disagree on most teams except for football and football Sundays, do you guys high-five each other and whatnot during Giants games?
Yeah, but even with the Giants, we tend to disagree on a lot of things. We are both Giant fans, but I think we're different Giant fans. And yeah, every other team we totally disagree on. When it comes to sports, we're usually not in agreement really on anything, including our football team. But yeah, despite what you hear on the radio, and everything you hear is real because we do have that type of friendship where it comes out. And I also think we have like good chemistry. We know how to get it under each other's skin. And we both can say whatever we want about each other. And at least I'm speaking for myself, but I'm speaking for Sean too. We could pretty much say whatever we want to each other, and it sort of just reflects off us. We don't get, you know, sensitive about it. Now, our family members get annoyed, but Sean and I are cool as far as I know, and I've known the guy forever.
Did you know him since childhood?
No, not childhood, but he's one of my friends. So I got a couple of friends, Jay, that I've known in the business forever, and we've formed a bond, maybe even a clique, so to speak, and that would be Sean Marash, Chris Lopresti, John Jastrzemski, my buddy James Ward, and my buddy Mike Carver. Both of them used to work at WFAN. And we are very much dear, like all of us are super close. We met through the business. We talk every single day, and we would give each other the shirts off our backs. Now, for Sean, it would be a large shirt, so I couldn't give him my shirt. It would be a triple XL, and I'm a schmedium. But we are dear friends, all of us, super close, gone to each other's weddings, bachelor parties, hang out yearly, monthly, weekly, just talk every single day, and that's kind of like our little radio clique here.
Are you and McMonagle buddies at all?
We are. Now, Chris and I don't have the relationship with Chris like I do with the guys I just mentioned, but I've worked with Chris for a million years. I've obviously co-hosted with him. I do consider him a friend. And yeah, not to the level of those guys, but definitely a friend.
Oh, nice. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep, you got it. Notice how I didn't say Rosenberg anywhere in there. Because he just is more of like a leech. He's more of like a rash. He's more like, oh, God, my Rosenberg's acting up lately. I need some cream for that. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is a little bit of Ask Tommy Anything. Let's see if Dominic in North Carolina is back with us, because I believe in second chances. Dom, are you with us? No. Okay. I don't believe in third chances, though. You got to tell Dom to call back another time. It's all good. Kendrick's in Mayo Pack. What's up, Kendrick?
Tommy, thanks for taking the call.
You got it, brother. What's up?
So you have to open in a couple hours. So I got like two or three golf questions. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Do you want me to ask them all three in a row or one by one?
Let's go one by one. See how it goes.
Okay. First one. Do you think there's any chance that Scottie Scheffler does not make the cut for a second week in a row?
He will absolutely make the cut.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. No doubt. And then John Rahm, how do you feel about him? I feel like he's the most unclutch major golf player.
Unbelievably bad. Yeah, he has been so awful. These LIV guys, that to me, they made a major mistake leaving, and they have not had great showings, except for Koepka at the Masters. They have been, like, awful in the majors this year. I mean, Rahm has been, Bryson has been, and I love Bryson, but they've been terrible. Yeah, I mean, Rahm did win the Masters, so I wouldn't say the most unclutch, you know, great player, so to speak, but he's not been good this year in the major tournaments here.
No, I always build up hope for him because, like, oh, it's international play. Like, he's going to do well. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to put my money on that.
No, I would not put my money on that. No, definitely not. I wouldn't.
And the third one is, like, obviously, it's always good with a tournament in Scotland to go with, like, a Scottish guy, English guy, or an Irish guy.
Yep.
Who do you like? I do have to say, you did give me good advice back in the Masters when I called for Patrick Reed. And
yes.
I was at a bachelor party, and I remember turning it on, like, later on. And he was in first place, like, late. And then out of nowhere, I think he had, like, a double bogey and blew it.
Yeah, he
like,
did.
Oh, wow.
He did struggle late. And Pat Reed, and he always does well at the Masters. So, and the one thing to me about the Masters and capping it, and I love, that's my favorite golf tournament of the year, and I always do a Masters pool, bet on it. It's, I don't want to say easy, but it's easier to bet on that because course history. You know how a guy performs at the Masters because they're always at Augusta, where the U.S. Open changes, or now the Open, or as I call it, the British Open. I mean, I know now it's the Open Championship, but I always feel like it's going to be called the British Open. And every year when it's not, I'm like, it's not called that anymore. But yeah, these ones are a little bit tougher to cap. I love the way Fitzpatrick.
The conditions aren't supposed to be good either, I heard. I heard like it's very.
Yeah, high. I mean, that's what you expect, though. So you got to find somebody that's. He loves the slop. His mother was a mutter. So I haven't given like a ton of thought to that, Kendrick, but just keep listening for the next like couple of minutes. Oh, man. Okay. Fitzpatrick has been red hot all year. I always think he's live. He's about 17-1 right now. Tommy Fleetwood, and I know he's a bridesmaid, not always a bride, but Tommy at 17-1 I think is a good number as well. Cam Young, I'm a huge Goddard Cup fan. Rutgers product. Chris is definitely going to break through and win, I think, multiple majors. His game is, he's awesome. Victor Hovland, I think he won the Travelers, right? I don't remember who won. I know it went to an extra hole the next day between him and Scotty. I didn't double back on that to see who won. Hatton is always, although did Hatton this week say he was going to be watching the final round on the couch? let me think about that. I know, Kendrick, you don't have to sit by the radio forever, but you could always go back on the Odyssey app. Let me kind of look at my, because for this major, I have to be brutally honest with the audience. So like I said, I love the Masters, always do a Masters pool, always bet on it, love it. Nance can be a little bit much with that stuff, with Amen's Corner. It's a little bit too much over the top for me, or Butler's Cabin. It's relax here, but I understand the history and all that. U.S. Open, I'm into, of course. I feel like the PGA kind of, to me, I'd rather have like the Players' Championship as a major, or even the Waste Management or the Phoenix Open. I like that more than the PGA. But whether it was the British or the Open, the reason I don't get into it as much is because I'm sleeping during it. That's the problem. It airs too early in the morning, so I wake up and the tournament's over already. Especially now with these hours. So I haven't really done a deep dive on it, and I'm not really sure I'm going to be betting on it either unless I tail some of the people that I trust when it comes to this stuff, which I will ask them during the break, and I will provide you some answers coming up in just a little bit. So hang tight on that. If you have some Ask Tommy anything, so we will roll over into the 11 o'clock hour. We'll do some sports as well. We'll reset on some of the topics. So if you're on hold right now, if you have a question for me, we definitely will get to you. If you want to hit me up on Twitter for an Ask Tommy Anything, you can at Tommy Lugauer, Lugauer, or you can call up the show 888-808-1019. It is After Hours, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.